Coming up next on the all-new Daddy on Board 96, we'll talk about household pets, colicky babies, helicopter parents, and racist toddlers. All that and a whole lot more awaits you right around the corner on a brand new Dob. Greetings, parents, teary-eyed, bleary-eyed, weary, and malnourished. My name is Mike Quackenbush. I am the parent of a three-year-old named Elliot, a podcaster here on the GrizzlyProductions.tv network, and a professional wrestler with the organization known as Chikara. I am your host for The Dob, where I will collate for you news stories from this past week about the parenting experience. I'll swim through the blogosphere and pluck out relevant tales for you, and I'll serve it up to you absolutely free, as I have done for the last 96 weeks in a row. This is all entirely possible thanks to Duracell PowerMat. You can go truly wireless when you have a wireless charging solution from our sponsors at Duracell PowerMat. And by Gazelle, trade in your used iPhone, iPod, iPad, MacBook, or smartphone for dinero over at gazelle.com. The Dob is also made possible by Cobra Electronics, foes of G.I. Joe, but friends to those of us that live on the road with innovations to make your life simpler. And by Drobo, the ingenious backup system designed to protect your entire digital life against drive failure. Well, in the news this week, there's been a little bit of a firestorm as it relates to the oft-discussed work-life balance, which is a constant juggling act that all families deal with, some more adeptly than others. But in particular, it seems as if policies in the United States, which now seem to be actually falling behind those of some developing nations, have really come under fire due to some remarks that came out from, no, this really is her name, Anne Marie Slaughter. She's the first woman director of policy planning in the State Department. I assume she's married to Sergeant Slaughter, former World Wrestling Federation champion. These policies include, for example, paid family and medical leave, workplace flexibility, high-quality affordable child care, and early education. Some pointed out that when President Bill Clinton signed the Unpaid Family and Medical Leave Act, his very first day in office, which is basically the same bill that had been vetoed twice by the preceding president, original George Bush, or George Bush Classic, I think, as we're going to come to call him, to differentiate him from W. This was thought to be a good first step, right? But here we are, 19 years later. Where's the second step? Where is paid family and medical leave? Now, paid leave sounds like a really expensive idea to a lot of American business owners. Why, then, is some form of paid maternity leave the law in every country on Earth except Papua New Guinea, Swaziland, Liberia, and the United States? That's great company that we're keeping there, by the way. Papua New Guinea? Is the demonym for them, by the way, New Guinea pigs? I hope so. I hope that none of the denizens of that country are listening and were offended by that. You're probably really sick of that joke, but over here it seems fresh. I also like the idea of Captain New Guinea feuding with Captain America. Anyway, the whole rest of the planet recognizes that the first few months of an infant's life are critical to development. For example, in England, paid maternity leave was extended from 6 months now to a year, full 12 months. And according to Save the Children, paid maternity leave is the best predictor of both mothers' and babies' health. The United States ranks 25 on the list of best countries for mothers. That's it, 25. I'm pretty sure we're like the most awesome thing on the planet, right? I'm pretty sure that the United States is like the policeman of the planet. We're like the wealthiest. We're certainly the fattest country on the planet. We make the best movies. Number 25 on the list of best countries in which, or for mothers specifically. For example, the Scandinavian countries that are wishing to engage fathers as well as mothers in childcare have even carved out special use-it-or-lose-it father time, paternity leave. Now, unpaid leave is an impractical option for most new parents, obviously. The birth of a baby puts all kinds of new stresses on family budgets. It's not a good time for a family member to give up a badly needed paycheck. But the wife of Sergeant Slaughter writes that the ability to control her own schedule is what prompted her to leave the State Department and return to her full-time job at Princeton University. Workplace flexibility is precisely what every working father and mother would love to have. That way they have the ability to be there when the child is sick, or to leave a half hour early from work to pick someone up from childcare, or to be able to support them in all their extracurricular activities. Women and men in top management positions often can negotiate for this type of flexibility, either in the number of hours worked or where or when they work, how many days of the week they work. But mid-level and low-level earners rarely have that opportunity because they have little power and fear that they might be fired if they ask for that type of flexibility. What I want to ask you, loyal Dob Bobbers, if you want to check in with us over on our Facebook fan page or on Twitter, if you live outside of the United States, tell me a little bit about your experience, because chances are if you're listening to this podcast, you are a parent, when your little one came into the world. I want to hear how it differs from country to country, unless you're from Liberia, Swaziland, or Papua New Guinea. I don't want to hear from you. Okay? Let me also say, Portuguesers, I'm not so hot on what you have to say. I think that's the correct demonym for that. I'd like to hear your feedback about that. Maybe we can talk about that a little bit next week. And when I say we talk about that, I really mean I'll figure it into my monologue on next week's Daddy on Board. Have you heard of the concept called helicopter parenting? It's kind of new. I actually just heard this phrase a couple weeks ago. But an interesting study published in Springer's Journal of Child and Family Studies talks about intensive parenting, or what you and I might colloquially refer to as helicopter parenting. It shows that these parents who are overly involved in their children's lives and the raising of them are actually less satisfied with their lives and show greater signs of depression. They define this intensive parenting, or helicopter parenting, with these characteristics. One, that the parent's happiness is primarily derived from the child. That the parent feels compelled to always provide their child with a stimulating activity that aids in development. They find that parenting is far more difficult than working a job, and that the parent always feels the need to sacrifice their own needs for the needs of the child. And of the people that were surveyed by Journal of Child and Family Studies, they showed that a lot of them, they were stressed, they were depressed, and they reported less satisfaction with their lives than those parents who are not as engaged on a full-time basis with the rearing of their child. This is something that certainly I can understand because, no doubt, once your little one comes along, you quickly find that you may engage largely with a circle of friends that are in the same predicament. It makes it easy to complain. I've certainly noticed that there is a greater benefit to allowing even my own 3-year-old son, Elliot, to have time to do some independent play where he's unsupervised, the importance of which really dawned on me after a few Daddy on Boards ago, when I reviewed a viral video about a boy in California who constructed a cardboard arcade in the back of his father's business. And oftentimes having that unstructured playtime where we get to disconnect for a little bit so that I'm not helicoptering over him, so to speak, is really, really beneficial. And especially now, starting to see some of his more imaginative qualities, for example, as he takes two of his action figures and fabricates a dialogue between them about the colors of their shoes, it's increasingly important to allow that sort of thing to happen independent of your interference. Now, that, of course, is not to say that you should be negligent. I would like to point that out. I don't think that that's what this is recommending, but I think those findings are important because chances are you know someone who perhaps does a little bit of helicoptering of their own, and certainly at times we're probably all very guilty of that. This is an interesting story that was going around in the last week or so, I want to say, relating to dogs. Dog-owning families, in particular, this story was ended up on all the major news sites. Dogs are no longer just a man's best friend, no. They also protect infants against breathing problems and infections, or at least that's what a new study is suggesting. Now, keep in mind, this study was conducted in Finland. Researchers found that Finnish babies who lived with a dog, or to a far lesser extent with a cat, they spent fewer weeks with ear infections, with coughs or runny noses. They were also less likely to need antibiotics than those infants raised in pet-free homes. Dr. Bergroth from Kuopio University Hospital in Finland and Dr. Bergroth's colleagues concur that one explanation for this is that the dirt and allergens that are brought into a house by the animal are actually good for a baby's immune system. They surveyed just under 400 infants between 2002 and 2005 using a weekly diary that was kept by their parents to arrive at these findings. So there may be a benefit to it. Now, to me, I would think the opposite, right? Slobbery dog, I think that thing would just spread germs everywhere. But maybe it's actually the germs that help build up the immune system so that eventually these kids spend less time dealing with all types of infections, breathing problems, and other whatnot. Imagine for a second that every song, every document, every file, every video, every photo, everything stored on your computer in the blink of an eye was gone. You'd get blue screen of doom, and then everything is lost. How would you even begin to start picking up the pieces? I think about everything that's on my computer, my entire digital life, everything from photos of my son to my entire music library is stored on my computer, and it could all be gone. Well, I don't have to worry about that, because I run a Drobo FS right next to my tower, a hard drive system that's designed to protect all of my digital files against drive failure. And there's an incredible new line of products from our friends over at Drobo.com designed to do exactly that. They've got portable solutions, they've got faster, larger solutions. It can handle any task you throw at it. You've got to find out more about the incredible innovations from our friends over at Drobo.com. If you know anyone that's ever been up against drive failure and has lost everything, you know what a disaster it can be. So prepare yourself now. Go see our friends and great show sponsors at Drobo.com. You may have already seen this huge story floating around the parentosphere about researchers who claim they may have found the cause of colic. This, I'm sure, comes as welcome relief to many of you out there who have a child that screams for hours on end, robbing you of your ability to sleep and or get caught up on the new 52 from DC Comics. Research has shown that a very common bacteria, H. pylori, could be behind the mystery crying. This bacteria, which is known to cause gastric ulcers, seems to show up quite a bit in infants' colic. 85% of a test group of colicky babies, to be exact, had this. On the other hand, only 7% of babies without colic were found to have H. pylori in their stomachs. Those are some pretty convincing statistics. Now, what does this mean for parents? Well, the debate is on right now about the use of probiotics to try and treat this bacterial imbalance for infants. There's more research to be done on the way. They're going to try and do further studies about this to see whether or not a regimen of probiotics could help eliminate or at least greatly reduce the instances of colic in babies. So what this really means is if your baby's colicky right now, no relief for you. But maybe in a couple years, maybe they'll get around to it. So you might just want to space out your next baby accordingly. That's what I'm getting at. I hope that really informs your decision there. Over in the blogosphere, Betsy Shaw penned a piece this past week or so about, are U.S. kids the world's most spoiled children? This piece finds its source material in an essay by Elizabeth Colbert from the New Yorker Book Review, exploring the theme of spoiled American kids and this extended adolescence that they experience, which has been termed adult essence. This sort of extended adolescence of young ones is something we see happening more and more as kids take longer to find their way, reach financial or emotional independence, to move out, graduate from school, all these other kinds of things that are out there. Some are trying to blame it actually on the weak economy. But at least, according to Betsy Shaw anyway, this is really the direct result of a culture of overindulgent parenting. There's some really interesting excerpts here. I'm going to read two quotes to you here that I think really hit this right on the head. Quote, "With the exception of the imperial offspring of the Ming Dynasty and the dauphins of pre-revolutionary France, contemporary American kids may represent the most indulged young people in the history of the world. It's not just that they've been given unprecedented amounts of stuff. Clothes, toys, cameras, skis, computers, televisions, cell phones, PlayStations, iPods. Just as an example, the market for Burberry Baby and other forms of kiddie couture has reportedly been growing by 10% a year." End quote. Now, certainly I can relate to that. I see kids with all kinds of crazy gizmos all the time that blow my mind. Then I thought about this. This is from the same piece. Quote, "So little is expected of kids that even adolescents may not know how to operate the many labor-saving devices their homes are filled with. Their incompetence begets exasperation, which results in still less being asked of them, which leaves more time for video games." End quote. This, I thought, was very, very striking. And here's something that we can take away from this piece. We, many of us anyway, not all of us, but many of us have access to a dishwasher, a microwave, a washer and dryer, things like that, right? That's what's being referenced here in the piece when they say labor-saving devices. That's exactly what we're talking about here. How many of our kids know how to operate these, could assist or take over those tasks for us in the home? I have to admit that I always regard it with a little bit of pride watching my son, who's three, take wet clothes out of the washing machine, which opens from the front rather from the top so that he has access to it, and loads them into the dryer. In fact, he enjoys doing it. It's like a game to him. I don't know how long it will remain a game to him, but I'm glad it is at this moment. Certainly, I can relate to the whole idea of incompetence begetting exasperation. I have some grown-up kids as well. My trainees at Chikara Wrestle Factory, for example. You'd be amazed how many times you've got to sit down and explain the right way to strike a ring bell to somebody like that. Have you ever seen wrestling before? Have you ever watched wrestling before? How did you end up at my Wrestle Factory without that? I'll show you how to ring the bell. I'll show you. Relating to this, there was a really good piece, I thought, by Liz Gumbiner, who put out some things that she wished she had known when she was a new parent. I want to share a couple of them with you now, because I thought these were very, very poignant. Something to think about, especially if you're an expectant parent, you're about to embark on the journey, or your journey has just begun. Something that you need to know, the stuff that you're putting on your baby registry, you don't need most of it. Be aware of those items out there that really prey upon our fears as new parents, right? Anybody out there ever use the pacifier disinfector that you got? Or anybody buy some sound mechanism that will make your baby intelligent or better at math while they're still in utero? A lot of these things we really don't need, and they don't need to be on your registry. Really give it a practical eye rather than allowing something else to inform your decisions there. Something you need to think about on the day when you finally walk your child into daycare or to kindergarten or whatever. The last thing you're going to think about on that day is whether or not any of the other parents will judge you for co-sleeping with your child at any point in time. That's really just boils down to a safety thing more than anything else. And keep in mind that anytime another parent tries to judge you, it really says more about them than it does about you and your own practices. It's important to keep your perspective on that at all times. This one I thought was kind of funny because I'm sure we all have parents that we know are guilty of this as well. A baby book or memory book is not a reflection of the degree to which you love your child. You don't need to have a Martha Stewart-esque baby memory book to prove to the world that you are a capable parent or anything else. And try to remember that in the hustle and bustle of everything, chances are eventually you will forget to send someone a thank you note. And just remember that kind, giving people are not going to hold it against you. It's not the end of the world. We're busy enough as new parents without trying to, flay ourselves over an etiquette error of that type. Here's some other information that was floating around just in the past week about a new study that came out about the disparity between kids' vitamins and nutrition. Now, I'm sure you know, like vitamins and supplements and things like that are meant to fill in the gaps where a child or other person, it doesn't have to be kids that take vitamin supplements, where their diet is lacking. And a recent study shows that U.S. kids may not be getting some of the most needed nutrients, either from their vitamins or from their diet. They looked at the diet and supplement use of more than 7,000 U.S. kids, and researchers found that between the ages of 9 and 18, that many had low levels of certain vitamins and minerals, and very few took supplements, while younger kids had adequate levels of most nutrients and were possibly getting too much of some vitamins and minerals. Most children under the age of 8, for instance, got the nutrition they needed from the food they ate, regardless of whether or not they took supplements. But even with the use of supplements, more than a third of children failed to get sufficient calcium and sufficient vitamin D. Conversely, some users overloaded on essential nutrients such as iron, vitamin A, and across all age groups, they overconsumed zinc and folate. Now, it is important to understand about that as it relates to what they're calling overconsumption of iron, vitamin A, zinc, and folate. There does not appear to be any reason to think that causes any harm whatsoever to overconsume those particular vitamins and minerals. However, the deficiency of calcium and vitamin D are very, very important. So you might want to look into that and consider vitamin supplements as well. Certainly there's vitamin D-enriched milk, which to me would seem like the easiest way to get calcium and vitamin D. But there are other methods, of course, of getting that as well. All of that is very, very good information. Hey, if you haven't, listen, I'm telling you, I need you to go over to iTunes, and I need you to leave me a super awesome 5-star review. It's okay if you lie. If you hate this show, I just want you to give me the 5-star review anyway. Just tell everybody how awesome it is. It would really help me a lot. If you do that for me, there's a good chance I'll read your name on this podcast. I'll probably butcher your last name. Maybe I'll make up a funny new name for you if I decide to go that route. But I need your help regardless. Will you go over to iTunes and do that for me? Will you please? I would really appreciate it. Hey, I've got more from the blogosphere and other parenting news coming up right around the bend for you. But first, do you know the kind of driver who every once and again might happen to pick up a speeding ticket or other moving violation? Do you know the kind of driver that maybe on occasion blows through a red light at an intersection and then through some arcane magic like a photo of their license plate and a citation shows up in the mail? Well, you never have to fear this again, nor do I. I haven't gotten a single speeding ticket since I got the Cobra Eye radar system in my car, which makes me a far safer and more alert driver, in addition to the fact that it saves me from having to pay all those citations. The Aura Camera and Driving Hazard Database provide the fangs for the Cobra Eye radar system. It gives you real-time, verified information about every type of driving hazard out there. And if you want to know if you're being clocked, if you want to know if you're passing through an intersection with a red light camera, or whatever it is you want to know, you can customize the experience through the dashboard on your smartphone so that the Cobra Eye radar system tells you exactly what you want to know. Go over to Cobra.com right now, watch the demo video, and find out more. I can tell you this from firsthand experience. It'll make you a safer and more alert motorist. More than one dad blogger was wrestling with an awkward situation that came up this past week. For example, over on DadWagon.com, which is a daddy blog that I tend to frequent, Nathan posted up about his experience of having his boy ask him about sex, which could probably be an awkward discussion to have for the very first time with one of your little ones. Also, over on dadcentric.com, another great dad blog over there, Beta Dad, I don't know his real name, but Beta Dad is his handle, talked about his 3-year-old making what he felt might have been a racist comment at the swimming pool after seeing an African-American woman go into the pool. These are extremely awkward situations, to be sure, and while I have not yet had to find myself in an awkward situation quite like either one of these, I'm sure one day I will, right? Kids do say the craziest of things. They do ask extremely awkward questions from time to time. And I think one thing that we must all realize as parents is there is not necessarily a universally accepted or endorsed by any government agency method of dealing with these things. Is there a right or a wrong way to go about it? That decision, ultimately, is for you, the parent, to make. It is the way in which you choose to handle those things, ultimately, that is relevant, and not what you feel is the way someone else might have handled it or the way someone would recommend that you handle it. For example, whether you live in an ethnically diverse neighborhood or not, it's important to make sure that you explain to the very best of your ability when such an occasion would arise the idea that everyone should be accepted equally, no matter what it is that they look like. It wouldn't matter if they're tall or they're short, if they're thin or if they're wide. It doesn't matter about the color of their skin or their ethnicity or anything like that. I'm lucky in that I feel like if I needed something to explain that very eloquently, there's a great video online from the program Yo Gabba Gabba. You should YouTube up All My Friends Are Different, and it's certainly true there. I'm lucky, too, that my son has an affinity for comic books, where, for example, the Green Lantern Corps is about as diverse a group as you're ever going to come across. Why, there are giant pink aliens from other planets. Some of them look like trees. One looks like a stalk of celery. One is a talking chipmunk called Chip. Hopefully, that's not something that my son will ever grow up with, feeling the need to verbalize all the exact distinctions between people. But undoubtedly, it's going to be something that needs to be recognized and addressed at some point in time. I think sometimes it is foolish to hope that you'll never have to address these types of things, even if they are at times a tad bit awkward when explaining them to a little one. My son Elliot attends daycare where, for example, there are a lot of children of parents who are from India. And they do not look exactly the same as my son does, who has blonde hair and blue eyes. I would like to think, though, that ultimately he will simply decide which ones are his friends and which ones aren't by the quality of friend that they make. Because, truth be told, some of them are wonderfully nice friends and they're very caring and they play very nicely together. Well, others, of all color, shapes, and sizes, are kind of snot-nosed punks at that daycare. And so I hope that he ends up befriending all the really nice ones and not the snot-nosed punk types, regardless of what physical appearances may be. as it relates to something that I think I would find infinitely more awkward to have to explain, and, you know, I think with good reason people invented a story about stork delivering babies. The reality is, if you wanted to sit down and just explain the raw science of it, while that might adequately and correctly explain some of their questions, the beauty of it is the science is probably largely over their heads. And you may be able to get it to escape, at least for a little while, having to have a more involved discussion if you don't feel that you're ready for it. And at least then you'll have some time for yourself when you realize that your little one's curiosity on that topic is mounting, and you may need to have a more grounded conversation about those topics when you, the parent, feel it's appropriate. I think at times we feel as if we are consistently at the beck and call of the child, and we are under a certain pressure to answer what they are asking honestly. And the truth is that there are some topics which we may feel are simply too adult to discuss with them, and you need to be able to satisfy their curiosity, not by saying, oh, we don't talk about that, because in my opinion, those types of remarks are only likely to increase their curiosity, right? You've created something that they're not allowed to know. Well, there's nothing more fascinating than that, right? I want to know what that MacGuffin is. Tell me what's inside that locked box. I want to know what the surprise is inside. But to be able to give them some type of information, even if all that information is not necessarily relatable to them, like I said, the pure science of the reproductive system, while it is an accurate and correct answer, might prove to be a little bit over their head, can maybe forestall a future conversation about that until you and whoever else is involved in the parenting of the child want to make an educated and mature decision about how you want to broach that topic so that you don't feel like you got caught with your pants down the next time they ask, fill in your own joke there. All right, hey, I don't know if you know this, but you can listen to Daddy on Board through the new Podcasts app that Apple has rolled out. If you haven't checked it out, it is really easy. Keep all your podcasts in one space. It updates automatically, and if you go a while without listening to a particular podcast, it'll just unsubscribe you until you subscribe again so that you don't have that cluttering up your feed all the time. It's a free download. I think you'll like that Podcasts app if you check it out. Go see what I'm talking about. I don't really experience road rage, but I do regularly experience phone rage. Every time I get angry at my iPhone, well, I hurl it at a pile of bricks nearby. Then I take it to the community swimming pool and I submerge it. And just to make sure that I've finished the job, then I bring it back to my place, cover it with a pillow, and make certain I've finished it off. You might think, well, that doesn't sound like it'd be worth anything. And let me tell you something, it must be. Because great show sponsors over at Gazelle.com will give you money, even if your smartphone is smashed, soaked, or even dead, completely dead. Gazelle's going to buy your iPhone, your iPad, your iPod, your MacBook. They also buy smartphones. You need to go over and see Gazelle.com right now. It'll just take you a minute to get a free estimate on the value of your used consumer electronics. And you are assured fast payment, fair prices, and free shipping when you use Gazelle.com. I know, because I've used them to great success in the past. They'll send you a paper check, put money in your PayPal account. They'll even give you 5% more if you opt for an Amazon.com gift card. And the great thing about Gazelle, especially for iPhone or iPad users, you can sign up for an email update. It'll let you know about the current value of your smart good, so you can decide whether or not it's time to offload it. Remember, the longer you hang on to these things, the more value they lose. So don't waste another minute. Go see our friends over at Gazelle.com right now. Sometimes dealing with your toddler or preschooler can feel a little bit like a panic attack about to happen. This is certainly something that I can relate to, which is why I am glad that I stumbled across this over on BabyCenter.com. In their section specifically aimed about dealing with preschoolers, they offered up some alternative ways to deal with the difficult preschooler or toddler in your life. They explain some possible alternatives in this way. They give you an alternative phrasing, perhaps, to maybe a threat or the idea of discipline, and a little bit of rationale. And I found this to be extremely helpful, so I'm going to share it with you now. Certainly something that we've come across a lot in my home is the idea of trying to get Elliot to stay in his bed. It's not uncommon to think of a phrase like this being said, if you get out of bed one more time, I'll, you know, fill in the blank there with whatever. Try this as an alternative. After I put you to bed, I expect you to stay there. This is better, say the experts, because the expectation for the behavior is both clear and unemotional to the child. You might think about the kid who won't eat their vegetables, which was me some years ago. It wouldn't be uncommon to think of someone saying, you're going to sit at that table until you finish your vegetables. Well, as an alternative to that, you might want to say this, something like, remember, we are not going to have a snack before bed. The reason this appears is because it reminds the child that the kitchen is then closed. But the child can choose whether or not to eat right now. Now, some evenings, my son Elliot's not interested in brushing his teeth. You might think of a phrase like this in the event that that's what your preschooler or toddler is up to. There'll be no bedtime story if you don't brush your teeth, which is kind of like a threat or ultimatum. Well, it might be better to try this. Hey, it's time for bed. What do we do first to get ready? And this allows your kid to know that it's time for bedtime without the threat of something punitive. Invoke the routine to get them started. Now, certainly something that I think is on the near horizon for me is increased whining. I sense it coming for me. Beleaguered parent might say, if you whine one more time, I'm going to take your sticker book away, which is a threat, the way that's phrased, of course. You might try this as an alternative to see if you can diffuse the situation. I'd like to listen, but I can only understand your normal voice. And the reason this is a superior technique is that it lets your child know that you're interested in what they have to say, just not the tone. This one, I'm really fortunate I haven't come across, but maybe you have. You cannot get your little one to be quiet in the car. And you could think an exasperated parent might utter a phrase like this, if you scream one more time, we'll turn around and go home. In fact, I'm fairly certain that was rendered against me in my own childhood on more than one family vacation. Well, I'll try this as an alternative and see if it gets you anywhere. I'm having a hard time driving. I'll need to pull over until you're settled down. The reason that this is considered to be more effective is it lets your child know that there are effects, limits, and consequences to their behavior. And it's very clear cut. So hopefully some of that may have been helpful to you. You'll find a lot of really great information over at babycenter.com, where they break it down segment by segment here. So there's something that kind of applies to you at every phase of parenting, well, more or less. From getting pregnant through your pregnancy, for dealing with your baby, your toddler, your preschooler, and your big kid, too, and a whole lot of other great information. And it's categorized in an easy-to-find way. That's a big difference maker because I'm sure, like me, you've been on some parenting websites where things seem to be so haphazardly organized you can never find what you want when you need it. Well, not the case over at babycenter.com. Lots of great information over there to them. Don't mind throwing them a plug because I like ripping off their stuff. You know what it's like when you go out to the hotel or you're at an airport somewhere or you're at a professional wrestling show and you cannot seem to find a place to plug in the charger for your gizmo, which is on the verge of dying. Well, take one from me. When you're on the road with Duracell PowerMat, like I often am, I take my dual 1850 backup battery everywhere I go. I'm never powerless because I don't need a charger and I don't need an electrical outlet when I've got my PowerMat with me. I can even charge on the dual 1850 backup battery, my iPod Classic, and my iPod Nano at the exact same time. It's like a little miracle in a bag. I give Duracell PowerMat wireless charging solutions to my friends as gifts because all of us heavy travelers benefit from having something like this, particularly when we go overseas, because I can barely remember to take my charger along, let alone the adapter for foreign electrical outlets. You're never powerless when you partner with Duracell PowerMat. Go see what they're all about at PowerMat.com, and for great savings on all their hottest selling items, look them up on Amazon. All right, well, you can send in your little victories to me via Twitter. I'm at TheDaddyOnBoard. I appreciate you using hashtag LittleVictories over there. You can post them up on our Facebook fan page or even over on Google+. Yes, we do lurk over there as well. I saw some stuff come in that I wanted to share with you over from our Facebook fan page, actually. We asked the question over there to use just one word, although some of you could not contain this to one word. Your child gets most excited by what? And Loyal Dob Bobbers checked in over there. For example, Jim Vick said his kid gets most excited by Xbox. George Dunn checked in with fire trucks. That is something I can certainly relate to. Anything with a flashing light on top certainly excites my son. And it did me as well when I was 3 years old. I love police cars and ambulances and such. Lucas Garza, right in my wheelhouse here, buddy. Yo Gabba Gabba. That is cause for serious excitement in my house as well. Jonathan Hand checked in over on Facebook. He says, Chatch Air. I don't even know what that is. Jonathan, you're going to have to follow up and tell me more about this. And lastly, clearly named for the Steely Dan album, Asia Stewart Hensley said Cheetos. Cheetos. That's an incredible name you have there, Asia Stewart Hensley. Makes me think of Al Stewart and a Steely Dan album and Don Henley all at once. Well done. Also, I wanted to read this to you, the little victories that came in. This one was my favorite this week. Al Kush checked in over on our Facebook page and wrote this. My four-year-old fell getting off the trampoline. No, that does not represent my little victory. However, it happened after 7:30 p.m. I was visiting my sister way out in the country with no nearby clinics or hospitals. We call that out in the boonies, Al. My parenting success is that I was able to get into the after-hours clinic I wanted instead of the overcrowded, dirty hours wait emergency room that was closer. My son was the only patient at the clinic and went right in, got x-rayed, diagnosed, put a splint on his arm, all in less than an hour. If I'd gone to the ER, I might still be there. Al, thanks for sending that in. I want to know more of how. I realize you probably had a very limited space in which to type all this. I want to know how you got into the clinic. Does this involve breaking and entering? Because while that's a little victory, I think we want to be careful not to mention that in association with your name on the air if you broke the law. Thanks for sending that in and for interacting with us. Always like hearing from you on Twitter, on Facebook, and on Google+. You know, I'm elsewhere in the Grizzly Productions network. I'm on the Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe. My lifelong best bud Clayton Morris and I team up, and we talk over there without any sort of agenda. It usually rambles on and on. We talk pop culture. This coming week, we're most certainly talking The Dark Knight Rises. So get in on the conversation over on The Grizz, as we call it. I'm also over on The Trending Show with Clayton's wife, Natalie Morris. You may know her from CNBC and loads of other places, too. We talk about the top trending topics on Twitter and in Google for the week so that you know what's going on in the world. Check me out over there. I pop up other places as well and everywhere Chikara goes. Find out more at chikarapro.com. And then I will be back here next week, almost certainly, with a new podcast I intend to call Daddy on Board 97. Adios, mis amigos.